WGNS, Murfreesboro.
This is FM 100.5, 101.9, AM 1450, and WGNSradio.com. Rutherford County's place to talk. Stand by, Rutherford County. The WGNS Action Line continues a search for truth.
Good morning to you. Welcome into the Action Line from WGNS. This morning we are focusing on Rutherford County, and we're going to be taking your calls. You're directing the program in the ways that you want it to go. Our county mayor, Bill Ketron, is with us, and Bill brought some friends with him. Bill, first of all, good morning to you.
Good morning, Bart. How are you today?
Doing great. Good.
Happy Wednesday.
Wednesdays are always happy.
That's right.
Well, we have a question for you right off the bat. A listener who lives in the Compton Road area is not enjoying the smell of the landfill and wonders what's going to be done about that. How is that going?
Well, Bart, just this past week, we had a meeting with Public Works, and I think we're making real progress. We are putting together an RFI that we're going to invite through the request for information, the RFI. We're going to invite anybody that wants to come to the table, and we're going to put all options on top of the table and look at the RFI. And then after we go through the RFI for all the different companies who want to, they say they may only want to do composting. Some may want to do recycling. Some may want to do just reclamation of the old landfill. Or some may come in and want to do all of it, you know. I'll be recommending to the next Public Works Commission meeting that we do core sampling. So during this RFI period, that we'll be able to drill down and find out what is in our old landfill that's been capped since the late 90s. They need to know what's in there if they're willing to put in a bid to take that old garbage out and put it into a liner, because it's a ticking time bomb out there. You know, if it blows a hole inside of that old landfill and leachate goes into our water supply system. So we're much further along than we've ever been since 1990 about doing something right now. And then when the RFIs come in, then we'll turn around and narrow that down to at least two or three of the best requests for information and put out an RFP and get into the actual cost and what those companies are willing to do, be it Waste Management, be it Republic, be it anybody, Waste Away up in McMinnville, they're interested in turning in the bid. So I'd say by probably this summer, within the next 90 to 120 days, we'll have some direction. The county commission will be voting on what we're going to be doing, state-of-the-art recycling, state-of-the-art composting, et cetera.
Would all of these things have to be in place before the smell that this listener is talking about, before that's remedied?
No, I don't think so.
So we don't have to wait another 8-10 years?
No, sir. No, not at all. But, you know, with keeping in mind that landfill out there is going to close in the next 7 or 8 years, we're making real progress, more than we've ever made.
Okay.
I'm excited about it.
So whatever direction we go, whether it's making creating a system to make this or do that or whatever it is, we have the land. We can possibly even use the land that's out there, is that right?
Yeah, we can use our land also. We're talking. We're going to ask for a quote from a company called Fulcrum, who takes actual food waste and turns it into jet fuel. They have a refinery out in Reno, Nevada that should be coming online just this month. I think in the month of January, what we've been told. And we have 20 acres. They say they need 20 acres to put that type of refinery on it. And our acreage is not out there in Walter Hill. Our property is in Florence, you know, right next to the railroad track, right next to gas line, because we could capture the methane generated from burning that and sell it back to the gas company.
Okay, so everything is on go. It looks like it's a plan is in place.
It's been all hands on deck, and I think the whole commission is committed to getting something done this year with our landfill.
And the good thing, I think, is it sounds like there are several people who want to be a part of it, several companies
absolutely
who want to bid on this.
They see a way to make a profit, otherwise they wouldn't be interested.
Very good. You brought a friend with you also.
I did. I brought two friends, as a matter of fact. My deputy to the mayor, Steve Sandlin, he's been on with us before. And then I brought the chairman of our steering committee on the county commission, Craig Harris. He's county commissioner of District
15.
Commissioner Harris is new as chairman of the steering committee, which is one of the more powerful committees on the county commission. But I brought him today to talk about opioids, and this was a passion that drove him to run for the county commission because of his passion for that and trying to eliminate the opioid crisis that is in our county and trying to help save some of these people that are getting strung out on drugs and et cetera.
Very good. Craig, tell us about what motivated you. As the mayor mentioned, this was one of your personal reasons for running for the county commission. Tell us a little about that.
Well, one of the things that really motivated me is I had had a funeral I went to with a parent, and we were just talking about how, you know, the kids, how we lose touch with them. And what I try to equate the opioid, and the best way I can explain to you is like this. It's kind of like driving down the interstate, and you get off on an off-ramp, and you catch a red light, and there's a panhandler on the left of you. What do? You know, we either give them money or we look straight ahead. And I just felt like we wasn't doing enough for our kids. We wasn't bringing awareness. And that's one of the reasons that I ran. And then I had created a program, an education program for opioids for kids to be in the curriculum. So that drove me probably more than anything is to get that in. And when I became a commissioner, first thing I did was me and the mayor, we got together and figured out how can we do this. And then we got with the school director, Bill Spurlock, and then we got with the health department, and we developed a program that's going to be introduced in our curriculum in 2020.
So it's going to be introduced this year?
It's going to be introduced into three schools in Smyrna as a pilot program. And then hopefully if it works out and successful, then we'll be putting it in all the schools. It's for 6th, 7th, 8th, and 9th grade.
How can you measure the success on that?
Well, it's basically going to be, you know, of course it'll be evidence-based on some studies. But to me, I want it to be ugly, and I want people to see the real side of it. Instead of telling somebody, hey, don't do drugs, we're going to show them what you go through with this, you know, this horrible epidemic. And this education program is based on six perspectives. It's going to be judicial, pharmaceutical, physician, education, law enforcement, and addiction specialist. We're going to address all those perspectives and put it into the lesson plan.
And so this will go into effect, what is it, next school year, the fall school
year? Yes.
Okay.
August of next year.
And so how big of a problem is this in Rutherford County? Is it more so here than other places?
Well, we're fourth in the state. And since July 1st, we've had 53 deaths. And we've had six deaths since January. And we had over 1,300 OD calls last year. And I haven't got the numbers in for January yet, but I'll have that before my meeting on February 3rd. But one of the things that I got with the mayor on is we're going to bring awareness to this. And whether it's putting billboards up or doing shows like this, we're going to do everything we can to let people know it is a problem and that we can deal with it and come together as a community.
I don't think people realize that we've had 53 deaths, six this month. Is
yes.
that right?
Six this month. We had one Sunday night.
Are these all teenagers and younger?
No, sir. It's not. Actually, it's the average age is 30 to 50. So now you see why I'm trying to target the younger kids so that we can, you know, not keep supplying them with these people abusing drugs.
Tell us, how do they get the drug? Is this a prescription that they're prescribed by a physician for some other illness that they have and they get hooked on it? Or are these illegal drugs that they're buying? How do they get hooked on these?
Well, a lot of times, you know, I've always called it the big three. And the reason that I went and targeted 13 and 14-year-old kids is because most of the people that abuse drugs started smoking or drinking at the age of 13 and 14. And then, of course, smoking marijuana, which I'm going to get a whole bunch of people who want to legalize marijuana on me, but I'm just telling you what the studies say. And then, of course, it just, you know, accelerates. But people start off taking pills, you know, and then they'll take pills, and then all of a sudden they can't get any more prescriptions. And here's a good stat for you, too. 70% of all kids who abuse opioids get them from their parents or their family. And just simple things like we try to tell people how to just lock up your medication. Throw away your medication if you're not using it. But we got to take, you know, we got to be proactive in this and try to stop giving people the avenue to abuse drugs. But a lot of times it just starts off with pills. And then the pills on the street can cost, like a OxyContin, can cost $80 a pill. Well, you run out of money, so the next thing you go to is heroin, because heroin's $5 a bag. And so then you get addicted on that. Now, where we're having a lot of deaths is there's a drug called fentanyl. And fentanyl is with, they'll mix it with the heroin, and then it's like 10, it's almost 200 times more potent than morphine. And it's just a pin drop. You don't need very much at all, and these people are ODing on it.
Mm. So this is where we're having most of the 6 deaths this month in Rutherford County.
Yes.
Frightening. And these are people that you probably would not expect them to be on drugs. Do they have any signs that they're on drugs? I mean, if somebody listening has a relative or a friend that they're concerned with, are there certain things that they're doing that make you feel, hey, something's wrong?
Well, one of the things that I did, I developed a red flag. And my email is ccotinc@comcast.net. And I will send you those red flags. And I start all the way from 13 all the way up to possible death. And I show the signs and the steps that people go through. And, you know, it's simple things like your kids getting bad grades. I'm not saying that if your kids get bad grades, they're going to be a drug addict. But it starts showing you the steps, you know, the way they dress, you know, and all kind of situations like that. And then it just shows you how it accelerates. No, sir, you can't. And to answer your question, no, sir, you can't see what an addict looks like, because there's doctors that are addicts. There's CEOs that are addicts. There's politicians that are addicts. It's anybody can be an addict, and they can hide it.
Now, again, what is your email so people can get that from you?
It's ccotinc@comcast.net.
Okay. And we will put that, by the way, on our website, so that if you didn't get it and if you're driving in the car, don't write it down. But check back on the website under the podcast.
Can I add one more thing?
Sure.
Well, one thing that... I'm working real close with the mayor on this, and I think me and the mayor understand that, you know, we have to protect our citizens. It's one of the mayor's jobs is to protect his citizens, and he's been very proactive. And I want to say that because I want him and the people to understand that we are addressing this problem, and we're trying to bring it in front and let people see it.
And you're the chairman of the steering committee with the Rutherford County Commission.
Yes, sir.
So is this the big issue that the committee is looking at right now? This is probably, sounds like, could be one of our major issues in the whole county.
Well, we are working with Chairman Pettis Reed. He's chairman of public safety. And what I try to do with my steering is I try to start off my steering every committee with what happened, who, you know, how many deaths we had in the month that we've been away from each other, and to try to tell them how we are addressing this problem.
And every month last year, were you always hitting that 4, 5, and 6 persons dying in Rutherford County every month?
Well, we hit November was a really bad month. December was not as bad as it normally has been, but January is really bad. And, you know, we still got, two or three more days to go.
Six, and so this...
We're averaging around seven.
Wow.
And Bart, Commissioner Harris, talked about how people get off on these opioids, and then it leads to the heroin and et cetera. And talking to our director of our EMS, our ambulance service, Carl Hudgens is the director of EMS, and he's also our county coroner. So every time there's an OD, you know, they'll come up on people just probably this month, laying there dead with a syringe in their arm or in their hand, back of their hand, et cetera. He can also tell, because what happens is they can't afford or can't get their hands on the opioids that are prescription drugs, so they turn to the cartel. And this is a law enforcement issue that law enforcement is battling right now, because the cartels are bringing that fentanyl. I don't know if you saw just this past week how many pounds that guy was on I-24, was arrested. It was just a regular traffic stop, pulled over on I-24, and he had enough to kill 200 and something million people in the 5 or 6 pounds of fentanyl that he had. And it was through the cartel they're bringing it in and lacing it. And he said, we can tell, Mr. Hudgens at the ambulance service, he said, I can tell every time there's a new shipment that comes into Rutherford County, because the numbers of ODs that we have to go out and our ambulance guys have to go out and pick them up.
Yeah, and, you know, another thing that you were talking about the number of deaths. Well, that's not including suicides. We had 20 suicides, and 14 of them were opioid-related. And if someone ODs here in Murfreesboro and they transport them to Nashville and they die, that goes on their total.
That was on county total.
That's almost 16 or 17 right there. So we actually have way more than the number I gave you. Those are just the deaths that we had dealt with.
Six or seven is enough to catch your attention.
Yeah, well,
sure.
It's more than that.
But you're looking at 20, 30, 40.
Yes, I mean,
that's correct.
You know, 14 of the suicides are opioid-related. They, you know, it's a suicide because they had left a note, but they, you know, they had died from opioids.
And Mayor Ketron, you mentioned about they are lacing some of these drugs with different things that are even more dangerous. Are they doing, is there an operation in Rutherford County? Is that where they're bringing the drugs in and then lacing them here?
Yes. You buy it on the street, and so that's what our sheriff's department, our local police department is constantly fighting, trying to stop I-24 is a major pipeline. They come straight from Arizona, come up from Mexico, straight Arizona, and they come in 65 or 40. I guess 40 is one that runs all the way across the country, and they come straight here, hit 24 and 65, and split and go up east or down south. But they're coming right through Rutherford County.
Is that a big, physically big operation that you feel like they have here? I mean, I don't know how big of a place you need for that.
Well, not a lot when a pound's only, wrapped up in cellophane.
So I didn't know whether we had a warehouse.
No,
it's being used.
No, fentanyl. So like you said, a pin drop can kill. I don't know how many people.
Two years ago we had, and it might be longer than that. 2 years ago we had 9 people die in one day, and that was when that was laced with fentanyl, and that's when kind of got on the radars, like we're in trouble. But what it is this is something I want you to think about too. In 2012. And, a lot of people, I really want to address this. A lot of people say, hey, tell the doctors don't write scripts. That's the problem. Well, in 2012, we averaged 1.94 prescriptions per person in Tennessee. And that's outrageous. That's 2 every man, woman, and child. Well, this last year that came out, we had for the first time since 2012 more people than prescriptions. So we have done, the legislators have done a good job on that right there. But deaths went up. Our deaths went up 25% here in Rutherford County. And what me and the mayor are trying to do is we're trying to bring awareness. We're trying to say, hey, you need to look up and see this, because most people, they don't deal with it unless it affects them, one-on-one. And that's what we're trying to do. And I'm tired of going to funerals. I'm tired of helping parents try to find their kids. I mean, this thing is ugly, and my education program is ugly. You know, and here's my question to all y'all out there is, would you rather see ugly with pain or without pain? Because with pain, it's the most unbelievable thing you can see. And bearing a child is, I mean, we know that is that's the worst pain in the world. And it's happening all the time.
But an even bigger tragedy on this, it's not just the person who dies. They got into something they should not have gotten into. But from the ages that you're saying, 30 to 50, that means that they probably are a parent. And not only did they lose, their child loses the benefit of a mother or father.
Yeah, and you know, one of the things we talk about is, you know, opioid epidemic is not, it doesn't discriminate at all. It can be a CEO, it could be a janitor, it could be a radio announcer, it can be a commissioner. I mean, this thing hits everybody. It has no social economic barriers, and it's everywhere. And, you know, just because, you know, nobody wakes up and says, hey, I want to be a heroin addict. It's a process. And that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to go to the beginning of this process and try to educate these kids, because I personally believe that if we show how ugly it is, they will shun it. And that's how I feel. That's in my heart. I feel that's one of the best ways to go.
Is Rutherford County on the cutting edge of this, or any other counties doing something?
No, nobody's doing it. And that's one of the things we want so bad for this to be a success, because, you know, me and the mayor feel like if we can make it a success in this pilot program, then we can get it in all the schools here at Rutherford County. And if it's successful there, hey, we're looking at the state. We're looking at federal. Rutherford County might be the forefront of doing this and starting with everybody. This is, to me, this is a very big thing, and I think we need Rutherford County to step up and help us as well.
Mayor, back several years ago, it seems like there was something which, again, would put Rutherford County on that cutting edge of caring. Didn't the state House and Senate work on some opioid issues, and wasn't there some initial work in the Smyrna area dealing with opioids?
There was, Bart, but
is that behind us now?
It's behind us, but it's something you can't just stop, you know, and that's what happens many times in the General Assembly. They're focused on it this year, and then the funding runs out. Another big concern, talking about funding running out, is that all of our law enforcement officers now carry Narcan. Narcan's very expensive, but they can, you know, when they're getting ready to OD, if they get there quick enough, they can pop them with Narcan, and it brings them back, okay? It blocks it from going into the brain. But the federal grant money is getting ready to run out on Narcan, so that's going to be a huge hit to our budget for the city and the county of having to buy Narcan, because I don't know how many canisters, Commissioner, they go through on a weekly basis.
Right now, yeah. Mayor, we spent, I think, $43,000. And that's just in 2018. And that's not counting the police officers. That's not counting all the people. That's just for EMS. So, and also what people don't understand, if we want to look at it on the economic side, loss of labor production, we're looking at millions and millions of dollars that we lose on this program. And also you got to take into effect that the jail, you know, probably 80% of the jail population is drug related. So you're looking at all kind of you know, factors in money on this thing too. I look at the lives part of it, but you have to look at the money part of it as well.
Let's take a phone call. Good morning. You're on WGNS. Hello. Okay. Well, we'll pause then, and then they can think about it. And if you have something to say, say it. We do have a few text questions. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
We're News Radio WGNS, 100.5, 101.9, 1450. Online and on your phone at WGNSradio.com.
I'm Peter Demas, inviting you to eat with our family at Demas's Restaurant. We're seeing a huge number of our customers that are allergic to gluten or at least gluten sensitive, and we've always had a great gluten-free menu, and so we now have gluten-free spaghetti, and many of our sauces are gluten-free. So it's a great place to go if you're gluten sensitive or you have celiac disease and you can't eat gluten at all. This is Peter Demas. Come eat with my family at Demas's Restaurant, Northwest Broad Street in Murfreesboro.
Hi, this is Amanda from Animal City. I wanted to invite you to come shop at Murfreesboro's only locally owned and family-run full-line pet store. We have all of the wonderful things to keep your pet happy and entertained. Whether you're looking for a new pet to add to the family or just things to keep your current pet content, we are the place to see. For your convenience, Animal City is open 7 days a week. This is Amanda from Animal City, 919 Northwest Broad Street in Murfreesboro.
Good morning. Still heavy traffic volume out here on 24 as you make your way towards Nashville. They're working a wreck over there just past 440 in Nashville on 24 going west. It's got traffic really heavy slow in that area as you try to get to 440 again on 24 going westbound over in Nashville. Hey, Prince's Hot Chicken is the original hot chicken in Middle Tennessee. Check it out. It's worth a try. 5814 Nolensville Pike. I'm Commander Chuck. You're on time traffic.
This afternoon, scattered showers with a high near 46. Tonight, scattered showers with a low around 36. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy with a high near 50. I'm meteorologist Emily Chipman on News Radio WGNS. Currently, it's 38.
This weather on WGNS brought to you by First National Bank of Murfreesboro.
Experience real hometown banking. I'm Shelley Rigsby, manager of First National Bank of Murfreesboro. You're treated special at First National Bank of Murfreesboro. You get full banking services, plus enjoy cookies and a cup of coffee. Discover the difference in hometown banking at First National Bank of Murfreesboro. The Bank Murfreesboro calls first. First National Bank of Murfreesboro, 2230 Mercury Boulevard. Member FDIC.
The Action Line with Bart Walker, weekday mornings at 8:10.
WGNS, your good neighbor station.
Rutherford County's place to talk.
Welcome back. Our phone number is 615-893-1450. If you have a question or a comment on any of the things we're talking about, or if there's another issue dealing with Rutherford County that you have, give us a call. Our Rutherford County Mayor, Bill Ketron, is with us this morning, along with Steve Sandlin, the Deputy County Mayor, and the head of the Steering Committee for the Rutherford County Commission, Craig Harris, is here. And he's bringing us information about opioids. I had no idea that we had 40 or 50 deaths, that if you look at it, suicides, where they taken to Nashville and died there. Those are all counted in the real world as deaths attributed to opioids in Rutherford County. We're number four. That's not a number to strive for. Out of curiosity, are the other three are they there by size, or are there some smaller places that rank high?
Memphis, Nashville,
and Knoxville.
Knoxville.
Okay.
So. And you know, we've had, you know, you are saying this number 46. We've had 100 deaths since January 1st. So we've had the amount of deaths I told you about, 53. That was just from July 1st. So I think we ended up right at 100.
Wow.
And that's not counting the ones that went to Nashville or the suicides. That's just the ones that died from opioid overdose.
And those are the ones where the children lose their parents, the economy loses their input into working. It's a tragedy.
Well, you know, what I try to tell people all the time is the storm is not coming. It's here. And mayor can't do it. I can't do it. We have to have the community to help us do it. And they can't. I mean, communities are strong. Rutherford County is a strong community. And if we can all get together and work together on this, then we cannot be number four. I don't want to be number 95. I don't even want to be on the chart. And we have a lot of work to do. And with the, you know, this county is growing at 22 people a day. So you see how much we grow, and then that number, we got to start attacking this number.
Have any counties in the United States, let's don't just at Tennessee, but has anyone gotten a firm grip on this problem?
I don't think so, Craig, or Bart. I don't, and a lot of kudos to Commissioner Harris for bringing this to the forefront, working with Mr. Spurlock with the schools. If we can turn this pilot program and get this thing going, we will be on the cutting edge of any other county in the country doing this.
The whole country.
Yes, sir.
Our phone number, 615-893-1450, and you can talk or text on that particular line if you have a question. Give us a call. Here's a question that we just received a text on. I was told by homeless people that outside outlets on the courthouse square have been removed to keep the people from charging their cell phones. What about that?
Well, Bart, not to my knowledge, so that's how rumors get started, but, you know, we had all the Christmas lights on every one of the light poles, and let us define what's ours and what's the city's. My responsibility as mayor is everything on the inner loop, and then the outer loop of the sidewalks where those light poles are is the city. But those lights that the city puts up with the banners for Christmas and everything else, they have to plug into each one of those poles so they're there. Now, the only extension cord that we have at the courthouse is a great big one that we run over to the stage for Jazz Festival. I'm not sure that they would want to plug their phone into that because it might get fried.
So the ones, we're not sure which utility outlets they're talking about, but the ones that are on the
sidewalk on the outer loop, because we don't have any right. light poles on the inner loop, which is county. The outer loop is the city that they're responsible for. All those black, pretty light poles, they still have outlets there. So.
Okay, so it doesn't appear to be.
No,
in
but
fact,
what,
Steve, you said you had seen some of the construction crew using those outlets.
Yeah, well, they had a extension cord going across there the other day and had a drill that they were using, and so it was plugged up, and they were going to replace those outlet covers because they've really kind of damaged those, you know, through the years, folks using them, but they haven't done that yet. But no, the outlets are still working.
All right.
I've heard some complaints, Bart, about it. Our Wi-Fi shuts down at the time that we leave work at 4:30 in the afternoon. I think the city does the same thing. It just, our Wi-Fi that extends outside the building, it shuts off at a certain time.
Now, is that Wi-Fi for the community's use, or is it for your office use?
It's for the courthouse use only, but if you're within a certain distance, they have access to it, but we shut it off, and we've had some complaints from some of the homeless people that they want 24-hour Wi-Fi.
Okay. If you have any questions this morning dealing with Rutherford County, and we underline Rutherford County, give us a call. And here is another question. It says, from what a senator said on a news report last night, the federal penalty for fentanyl ends this month. The bill to extend the penalty is sitting on Nancy Pelosi's desk, and she won't send it to the president so he can sign it. Ed, you heard anything like that?
I didn't hear anything, but she's kept a lot of things on her desk here recently, so I don't know.
Okay. No answer on that one.
Wonder why.
615-893-1450. Listener is asking, give us an update on the work at the courthouse renovations.
We are probably 75% complete, making progress every day. It all depends on the weather, how quickly we get done. We've got the light contractors are there this morning. We should have all the light fixtures are in. Talked to the electrician yesterday, so we'll start relighting the cupola with new LED lights, the columns, the courthouse itself. there is an addition that is going to extend it just a little bit on the south side by Binks. We have chosen to go ahead and put in a handicap accessible because we've been going through our assessment, ADA assessment for all the buildings in the county. We felt like it's probably better. Now's the time to do it since we're still under construction, put in another ramp because we only had one ramp coming into the courthouse. Landscaping, siding, everything else should be coming online within the next 30 days and hopefully between that and the museum that we're creating on the inside. We've already got phase one, starting working on phase two. We'll have a little celebration and kind of a open house to let everybody come down with Dr. West. You know, he's our state historian and runs the historic preservation program at MTSU. And I put him in charge of doing the museum. Phase two, we'll start bringing in once we get IT out of there and moved over to the old judicial building. We'll take those two rooms that IT uses and put artifacts that are generic to Rutherford County on loan from the State Museum and make the courthouse a place of tourism because a lot of people love that courthouse, and so do we, and we're going to make it a gem.
And that's one of the places where tourists come.
Yeah.
So it's a
stop at the
place.
Chamber, and they say go to Oakland's Mansion, go to Stones River Battlefield, and go to the historic courthouse.
Very definitely.
And we're going to make her look pretty again.
Now, you mentioned that IT is going to be moving to the judicial building.
The old judicial building.
And that will give you the room
for... That is correct.
For the museum.
Yeah.
What time frame are you looking? Because they haven't even...
6 months.
Six months.
Yeah, we've already picked the architect's been chosen. They've already done all the design on that. All we've got to do is pull the permits. The contractor's been chosen. Met with them yesterday, so we're ready to go. They're going to be doing the renovation of the old judicial building and the archives at the same time. The contractor is, and so probably about 6 months.
So in the archives on Rice Street, that one?
That's correct.
Okay. What are you doing there?
We're doing an addition. We're going to double the size of it, kind of to the back side of it, because the Sheriff's Department is just overwhelmed with the number of records that we're required to keep for infinity. Their facility is full out there. They've got old tractor trailers with records in it. We've got space renting down in Laverne, and every time they pull a record in Laverne, then they charge us, and they charge us to pull it, and they charge us to put it back into the file. So we're adding on to the archives to give us plenty of room to take care of our records.
Bart, the mayor mentioned the light package for the courthouse a while ago. We're really excited about that. I'm telling you, before we've had the film, the different color film that we put on for Alzheimer's or cancer awareness and stuff like that, LEDs will be able to change the lighting on those remotely, and so I think it'll be a more mature light and be really something I think the county's going to be proud of.
Will you put back the carillon? Wasn't there an electronic carillon on the courthouse that played chimes and things at one time?
Well, I'm not sure about Caroline, but we are going to pipe in some music for the downtown square.
All right. So that's going to
And
be
we fun. Got the bell going again. The bell is yeah. We've reactivated the bell, so every 30 minutes it rings, and for every hour it rings for the number. So it's working again.
That's something to be really proud of.
We are proud. We were up in the cupola just a week or so ago with Commissioner P, and we didn't see any ghosts because it was in the daytime. There's still some wasps flying around up there.
Oh, yeah.
But, it's kind of historic because you look up there and you see 1856 or whenever the bell was stamped, when it was actually forged, and it's still ringing.
So that's working again.
Yes, sir.
The authentic sound. Well, you can't beat that.
I love it when y'all put it on WGNS, when the time
that's right.
clock strikes. And I thought it was like at one time, and it may have at one time, I don't know, but, came through the speaker. But it's not. It's the
it's
bell.
A real, it's a real
it's
bell.
The real bell, yeah. And it's just electronic chime kind of thing now that hits it. But, that's really cool. You don't want to be there when it chimes.
It's part of it. Well, I've been there. So, but it is loud. It gets
yes,
your
sir.
Attention. And it's amazing once you get up in the cupola how dark it is. We've been there too.
Yeah, we had a good thing for Google flashlight, or Apple flashlight on the phones.
Right.
So tell us a little more about some of the work that is going on downtown around the city, the Rutherford County historical building there, the city, the county.
Or cleaning up the courthouse, and of course the old judicial building is being renovated, and we're going to bring it back to life. And of course we went to property management Monday of this week and asked them what they wanted to do with the old bank building, and we have several people who are interested in buying that. So we're going to come back next month, and I gave them the options. Do you want to take sealed bids on it, or do you want to auction it off? Because the interest of the people of what they want to do with it varies. Some want to put retail on the – they want to tear it – there are three or four people want to tear it all the way down and start all over again and put in a five-story building and put retail on the bottom and some parking and then the rest of it residential. Some want to tear it down and just do all residential. And some want to tear it down and put restaurants in it. Some want to keep it as it is and put restaurants in it with a rooftop bar. You know, it's all over the board of what people want to do with that old building. Whatever it's going to be, it's going to be a $3-4 million investment on that corner. And
puts it back on tax roll.
Puts it back on tax roll. And it's been off the tax roll for a long time. We're going to put it back and start collecting some money.
Here's a text, and the listener says, what about the old jail property that the city has on West Main?
I was looking at that just the other day. We were talking about it yesterday. Matter of fact, we're using it as a construction lot right now for the courthouse, and probably will for another 6 months on the renovation of the old judicial building to allow the contractors to stack his materials as they're doing the renovation. And after that, I'm ready to put that back on tax roll as well.
Good morning. You're on WGNS. How are you today?
I am doing fine. How about you?
Doing fine. Thank you.
My question is the project that's been spoken of in the renovation of the courthouse. Just like to know how those projects paid for, and I'll hang up and listen.
How's it being paid for? Okay. How is it being paid for?
We appropriated the money. We had money left over in our budget, so it was appropriated last year for the renovation of that.
All right. Our phone number is 615-893-1450. We're going to check on the weather, and we'll be right back.
High school sports, Blue Raider games. It's only on Rutherford County's Place to Talk. WGNS, AM, FM, online.
Sure, we'd thought about downsizing and moving. What we really wanted was a new family room. So we called Ron Hall at Farrer Construction. He made that dream come true. Later, we decided to renovate the kitchen and then the bathroom. Both times, it was Ron Hall at Farrah Construction. Why don't you call Ron Hall at Farrah Construction Company? 615-893-6120. Farrah Construction Company.
Technology for your home's heating and air system, the Daikin Fit from Precision Air. It's quiet, takes up less space, and uses less power. Chances are, even if you had a unit installed in the last few years, you can still save money by switching to the Daikin Fit. Precision Air. Online at precisionairtn.com.
This afternoon, scattered showers with a high near 46. Tonight, scattered showers with a low around 36. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy with a high near 50. I'm meteorologist Emily Chipman on News Radio WGNS. Currently, it's 38.
Hi, this is Gator with Tire World Off-Road. We're your local Rough Country dealer. So when you're ready to add some character to your rig, ask for Gator at Tire World Off-Road on Memorial Boulevard.
This is Sean Brown at Tire World on Broad Street. Online at tireworld.us.
On air, online, and on the phone. You can listen to us anywhere. News Radio WGNS is Rutherford County's place to talk.
One thing we don't want to leave off in this segment of the show, and that is the census. That's almost with us, and Steve Sandlin has some information on that, our deputy county mayor. Steve, tell us what do we need to be doing on the census right now?
Thank you, Bart. Well, basically, when you get the packet in the mail somewhere around the 1st of April, it's starting April 1, fill that out and send it in. You can go online. You can go on the phone and do it. You can also fill out the packet that's going to be sent to you in the mail. It's quick and it's easy. It's safe. It's confidential. All those things that you need to do to fill out something and send it back in. It shouldn't be asking any personal information at all, basically about whether you rent the home or whether you own the home, your age, sex, race of each person in the house. And so it's quick and easy like that. It's very useful for the county and all the cities. It equates to about $1,100 per person on filling that out. So we really want everybody to fill that out. Because that means $1,100 going back into the city or the county for, you know, all the things that that we do to keep this county and cities running. So
remodeling the courthouse.
That's right, remodeling the courthouse.
Say that again, Bill. We didn't hear you.
Yeah, so, remodeling the courthouse.
There is something that came out on the news 2, 4, and 5 and everywhere here just a couple of nights ago that I do want to make the citizens aware of. There is a it's a census from the federal government packet that is coming out. It's already out, and what they're doing is doing a random type deal. So you may get this. It's a 3 or 4 part paper type thing, and it's asking a ton of questions, Bart. I mean, this is something you're like, you answer the first 2 or 3, and you go, well, no, this is really kind of personal. This shouldn't be asked. On the back of that, it should have all the credentials of the federal government census, the U.S. Census. And there's an email address on there. Should be a phone number on there. Call that number. Email that. Make sure before you fill it out and send it back in. But they said it's actually a United States-wide confidential type thing that they're doing. You know, we may only get like 500 packets in our area, and they want those folks to fill them out and put them in, but it's putting everybody in a tizzy. Really and truly looking at it, I wouldn't fill it out neither and send it in, because it's just too much stuff that they really don't need to know. So this thing right here that you're getting the 1st of April, it's really simple, and like I said, you can go online or you can get on the phone or you can do it by mail. But if you don't fill out any of these, your door is going to be knocked on from someone from Census. They'll either have a Census shirt on, they'll have a badge on showing that they're with the federal Census group, and they need to fill that information out. So if you don't want your door knocked on and asking you all these questions, you need to fill this out and send it in.
So be looking for that.
Yes, sir. April 1st.
All right, and that'll come in the mail.
Yes, sir.
And it's not an April Fool's joke.
It's not an April Fool's joke. No, sir. It's Rutherford County Counts Census 2020.
And we will be having some of those folks from the census on with us in the very near future.
Yes, sir. Whenever you want us on, I'll gather them up and we'll be here.
Sounds like a winner to me. Do you still need census workers if somebody's listening and wants to make some extra money?
Yes, sir, we do. And let me tell you, contact them. And I do not have that contact number with me, but just go online there and look up the Rutherford County Census, and Najma, she will get you set up with a group and get you verified and all that. But we need, as of our last census meeting last week, we need 500 more people. So that's, you know, it's a good temporary part-time for the rest of this year job. So we need you now.
$17, $18 an hour?
Yes, sir. I mean, it's good money, and I think you'll really enjoy it too.
Okay. We have about a little over a minute left. Any final thoughts that we need to touch on? Any of you, Craig?
No, I mean, I'm just excited. Rutherford County is going in the right direction, and we got a lot of things that we're dealing with. I'm excited about waste management. I think that, you know, we're attacking this, and like Mayor said, since 1990, we haven't really addressed this problem, but we're addressing it now, and I think that you're going to see a lot of things that are very positive.
Very good. Bill? Any thoughts?
No, I agree. We have a lot of things happening right now. We're just blessed to be in Rutherford County, and God's blessed us every day, you know, to be in such a great county and caring people in this community. You know, people have elected this leadership, and I'm proud of the county commission and everything they're doing. We're working with the city councils in the different cities as well. We're all working together as a team, seems like, more than I've ever seen. So, you know, we're addressing the problems of growth, which is, I think, all-encompassing, right? It affects everything.
Thank you all for joining us, visiting with us today, our Rutherford County Mayor Bill Ketron, the Chairman of the Steering Committee for the County Commission, Craig Harris, and Deputy County Mayor Steve Sandlin. Truman is next on WGNS Murfreesboro. Good morning.
Thank you, Bart.